Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:07 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good start to your Friday out there. It's Friday!
It's Friday.
And that feels good to say. Ooh, it's good.
It does. Especially this week for some reason.
Yeah, one of those weeks. It's just been a couple of those weeks, really, let's be honest.
let's be real.
Mel and I are going to have some fun with you as we get you ready for your weekend. We have got a bunch of great things going on. In just a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of calendar for this Friday. A little bit later, what is the percentage of people, how much does it help you to have a creative costume when it comes to getting candy?
Like more candy?
It's okay. It's an important conversation, Melissa. We are going to have it a little bit later. We also have to get into a couple of things about, like, does fall make you anxious? We'll get into that and how you can counter that.
Okay.
Some things that men are sick of being judged for. I haven't looked at that one.
That's good. This should come as a surprise to you.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club for this Friday, Saturday, and for Sunday. And a little bit after that, of course, we're going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. We had a lot of fun doing the kids' TV theme songs. What we're going to do now for the next couple of weeks is some Halloween-themed theme songs.
Wow, that's perfect.
It just worked out on the schedule, you know? It just worked out timing-wise. Got that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour, some entertainment news, good stories of the day, that ain't right stories, plenty more of fun in between all of that. Looking forward to it all. I want to touch on our sports schedule real quick for the weekend. Of course, a little bit later today at 6:50 on our sister station, WIRI, Assumption hosting Pittsville, postseason action.
Ooh.
Going to be fun. Going to be a good one. Looking forward to that. And then a little bit later tonight on this station right here, WFHR, at 6:30, you can catch your Wisconsin men's hockey team taking on Minnesota Duluth in Minnesota. All right. That'll be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow morning, just to let everybody know, a little programming note, the Sunshine Polka Show will be at 7 with the Badger game being on at 12:30.
Yeah, early polka.
Yeah, good tailgating stuff. Good start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the perfect tailgating show, Over the Back Fence. I mean, sort of. It's kind of is.
Why not?
We'll be here from 11 to 12:30. Actually, I'll be doing the show tomorrow, and from 11 to 12, we'll be Over the Back Fence. From 12 to 12:30, well, it's my time. I get to choose what we put on.
Smorgasbord with James.
Yes, and I have been talked out of, thanks to Melissa and Seth. I've been talked out of doing my Simpsons one man show.
We talked you out of that?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
To be fair, it's about 5 hours too, Melissa. So I don't know how I would
condense
it. Wow, it
even increased since yesterday.
I did some work on it last night.
I think you added 2 hours of material, James. Jeepers.
They got 33 seasons.
Well, that's true. It's a little excessive.
We'll probably play some music. That's what we'll probably do. Probably do that. Looking forward to all this going on. It's going to be a fun weekend here at the station. Of course, coming up after Mel and I are done getting you ready for the weekend, we will have Morning Magazine. One more for the week. We will welcome in part one State Senator Patrick Teston.
Oh, good.
Had a good conversation with a couple listeners over the weekend, and been kind of like just surveying people, getting some info from them. So we have a bunch to talk about, the senator and I, and always a good conversation with him. Very open and transparent, and always a positive.
I actually got to meet him in person for the first time last Friday at the legislative breakfast.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he was a nice guy. Nice to talk to.
Yep. Looking forward to talking with Senator Teston a little bit later. And we'll wrap up the week of Morning Magazine with Tim Kreft from Alliant Energy. We're going to talk about their solar project.
Oh, good.
Been in the news a lot lately, and I know that a lot of people have questions about what's going on with that, so we're going to get into it. Looking forward to it. A couple of fun conversations there. Melissa, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, actually, really good. You are not going to believe what I got accomplished already this morning.
What'd you do?
I made a split pea and ham soup and 2 loaves of sourdough bread.
Jeez. Are you a farmer? What are you even doing?
To be fair, I had planned to do this yesterday, but my day got a little wonky with needing to help out a friend, and so I came to Rapids instead. So these things were kind of prepped. I mean, the bread was prepped. So I'm just glad it turned out because it bulk fermented for 48 hours.
Ooh.
Which is twice as long as it's supposed to. So we'll see how it tastes. But apparently, you know, sourdough bread is forgiving like that. While it has its challenges, mm-hmm. we'll say, it can also, we'll see, be very forgiving. I'll let you know. I'll give you a taste test update on Monday.
Looking forward to it. And also on Monday, we'll have the kitchens open. Looking forward to that. Little, maybe not so much a preview, but a little tease of the kind of info that you get from Alyssa. And looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. It sounds good, though. Let me know how that turns out. I'm looking forward
to hearing. How's your morning going so far?
It's been going good, although a little bit of a melancholy start to the show here for everybody. I'm moving. Melissa inspired me with her move and everything. And while there was a balance of reasons for you to do this, Melissa, it got me thinking about doing this. So I just want to let everybody know I'm going to be moving to Limona Serenada. Say it with me. Limona Serenada. Sergarda. It's a beautiful little spot in Italy. And that's where we're actually going to start our show. It's a place of Terrence lemon groves, a paradoxically warm mountain breeze, and a powerful fat-killing gene carried by a few lucky residents. Limona is a picturesque fishing village set on the shores of Lake Garda in Italy's northern Lombardy region. It is an unusual destination for barely 1,000 residents. Not a big location.
Okay.
It is the most northern spot in the entire world where lemons are naturally grown and has an exponentially mild climate, considering its location at the feet of the Alps. Sounding pretty nice so far, right?
Yeah. So far, so good.
Perhaps this mix of factors is what led to the villagers' claims of the secret elixir to a healthy, long life. Many locals are apparently blessed with great digestive abilities that allow them to stuff themselves with cream-filled cakes and greasy cold cuts without worrying about expanded waistlines or heart problems. These residents have what they call the limone gene, which contains a special protein that destroys lipids and keeps blood fluid.
And
isn't this crazy? This is awesome, isn't it? For more than 40 years, the people of Limona Serenada have been under scientific observation, with gene-carrying villagers tested as, like, lab rats, basically. And the residents have done this very willingly.
How do you do this, and how can the rest of us have it?
Right? Of the 1,000 residents, half are limone-born and bred, and of those 500, 60 have the gene.
Wow.
Quote, the gene runs in my family, says shopkeeper Gianni Serugarta, who jokes that the villagers are used as blood bags for scientists. Since the 1980s, we've been giving away our blood for recurrent tests. We've also almost been bled out entirely. He adds Riley, just jokingly, of course. Mm-hmm. But doctors are just kind of blown away by this gene and by the fact that so many people there live long, long lives. The average life expectancy is well past the 60s.
Nice.
And it's just kind of a beautiful place to live. I mean, you Google this, Limona Serenada, and you will fall in love. Like, look, the Midwest is my home. I will live and breathe and die here and everything. Mm-hmm. But in between then, in between that, I'm thinking I got to check this out. I have to head there.
You know what, though, James? I hate to ruin your plans, but you are the last person that needs to lose weight or fight fat. So, I veto your plans of moving. You can't.
Don't. Dang it.
For that reason alone. If you want to visit, because it's beautiful and the people are nice, you can visit.
I definitely want to visit.
But keep it under 2 weeks.
I that sounds like a good health call. That's
all right.
It is nothing. It's nothing for Americans to retire to Florida. And nothing against that. That's a good idea. Oh. But of course, certainly so much of Florida has been hit so hard in recent weeks, and not as many people are going to be able to move down there, at least for the next year or so, if not longer.
They got some recovery.
Yeah, the residents there are pretty busy, let alone bringing new people in. So that's not something that they're expecting anytime soon, which is sad, certainly for Florida. But we got to go somewhere, right?
Yeah,
I mean, America's got to retire.
Why not
somewhere.
Italy?
Yes,
well, you know, there's a few more hurdles to go over if you're going to move out of the country.
I suppose you do have a pretty good point there. But come on, this looks so great. It looks so amazing.
I would love to visit. That would be awesome.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
You know, it's team building. We've talked a lot about team building exercises. I think this is the one, James.
Just hit it on the head. Road trip.
Yep.
We're taking a road trip. Taking the whole team on the road.
boat, road, yes, all of those.
I just thought, just thinking of that, like if we really, realistically, just our WFHR staff, if we tried to like do a remote from like Italy or something like that and flying over, and all I can picture is like Steph handing us all our boarding passes and a sheet telling us what yep. time to be there and everything. Mm-hmm. Pam just fidgeting, just.
But she's also got the list of everything that we need.
Yes,
and what's happening on the station.
A couple of bottled waters for everybody. Just yep. making sure everybody's good mm-hmm. and set, ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Keeping track of the luggage.
On the drive there, saying, are you sure that I should go? You guys don't have to bring me. Like, and Seth just getting a nap in because he could probably use it. He could probably.
But he'd also have, you know, all of our road trip music loaded yes. up and ready to go.
Yes. We'd have the soundtrack taken care of.
Yep. And James, you're in charge of games.
Yeah, I could do that. I could do that. I could handle that. I could also handle.
And I guess I'm in charge of food.
Yeah, pretty much. You kind of got pigeonholed there. Yeah, you kind of.
Yeah, a little bit.
And we're good. We're set. We're ready to go. All right. So I'm just going to go ahead and reach out to Mike and Sage about. And they're laughing at me. They're laughing at. I didn't know that you could do that through a text. Wow.
You know, it's kind of funny.
Just nothing but gigantic laughing emojis. And call me after the show. Okay, that's not good. That's not. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun. We're already off the rails, Melissa. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a fun show.
Start it off right.
We got good stuff coming up for you. National Day of Calendar on the way with Melissa and James here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this October 21st, 2022. We're also going to take a peek at the 22nd and 23rd. Look at this weekend a little bit.
All right.
It's National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't think I've had that before.
Well, I haven't, but for good reason.
Yeah. But I my favorite kind of pie is pumpkin pie, and I love cheesecake. So this feels like a win-win for me.
Like, how could you not have tried this then, James?
I honestly, Melissa, I've never heard of it. Never even heard of it before. I'm completely honest with the audience. I have not heard of this before, but I want it in my gut. I'm just in my system, in my gut right now.
Yep.
Man, that sounds good.
I don't blame you.
Does that count as breakfast? Can it count as breakfast?
Well, you know, it's got your dairy. It's got your, is pumpkin a... It's
pumpkin's
a
good
is
for you.
I think it's a vegetable.
Pumpkin's good for you. Or anything orange is good for you. I'm pretty
like
sure of that.
Particular cheesecake has some walnuts on the top of it. Mm. So, you know, that's a pretty good food grouping for breakfast.
Yeah.
Just balance it with a smoothie and you're good to go.
National Reptile Awareness Day.
Reptiles are cool.
Yeah. Share your enthusiasm for reptiles by pampering your pet, visiting a zoo, or volunteering at a local rescue to get to know these often misunderstood creatures. Unfortunately, there is a number of reptiles we have on the endangered species list, so that's another one to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But everything from magnificent bearded dragons to geckos to turtles, huge cuddly forest boa. Reptiles are increasingly popular pets from around the world.
Please don't get a boa as a pet. Please
don't. No, don't get any wild animal as a pet. You know,
I
mean, they tell you right there. They're wild. They're mm-hmm. Count your buttons day.
This is a cool one. I like this day.
Take a good look at your garments and make sure they're in tip-top shape. Count your buttons, and if you're missing any, sew some on. Learn mm-hmm. how to.
Yeah, it's not very hard to sew on a button. I love looking through my mom's button collection. I have her tin of buttons, and it's a pretty tin. So I've always been, you know, I was just enthralled with it as a kid. And then you dump out all the buttons, and there's just so many different ones. Buttons are cool.
Melissa, I don't know how many of these we have in common, but I used to do the same thing with my Nana's sewing kit. I did the same thing. She had so many awesome buttons. I'd never seen mm-hmm. that any of those before. It had like that many more buttons together or whatever. I don't know if she used even a quarter of those before she went off to but
it's funny because my mom's button tin has been around as long as I have. And I swear to you, and she sewed buttons on a lot of stuff, but I swear to you that tin is still just packed as full as it was, as it always has been.
It's like endless. Wouldn't you say, a little bit later, we're going to do this conversation on things that men are quite a stick of being judged for. I know a lot of guys who learned to sew because of those reasons, like they wanted to know how to do it, or that top button especially gets knocked off so many times, you just finally learn to do it.
Yeah, or you lose one on a favorite shirt, and yeah.
I don't know if I would say it's one of the more useful, but for lack of a better way to put it, it feels like one of the more useful skills to have down, to just be able to get to sew.
Yeah, simple sewing skills are incredibly useful because, you know, what a pain it is if you get a tiny hole in something like your favorite shirt or something you like to wear a lot. It's such a waste to throw that away when it could just be fixed easily if you just, you know, had a few simple sewing skills.
It's National Apple Day. That's a good one.
Ooh, good time of year for it, too.
Yes, yes, very. I love apples.
Apples are in their peak right now.
I like green and red apples.
Do you?
Yeah. Especially in summer. I love a green apple in summer for some reason.
I like green apples covered in caramel.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That is really good stuff. I haven't had one of those in a caramel apple in a while now that I think about it.
Oh, they're messy to eat, but so, so good.
And I have yet to understand how this has not become a national holiday that we all get the day off for yet, but it's International Day of the Nacho.
It's Nacho Day, James.
I know. Every time I think that we have the day off, and no, it's Nacho Day. It just seems to happen every year, and it's really frustrating.
That's
nachos
such
are great.
Fun word.
It really is. It's not only one of the like such a great snack and a great food. It's so much fun to say, and we need more snacks like that are fun to say.
Yes, I agree.
Nacho.
Start a campaign.
Nachos are great.
But there are so many different toppings that you can put on nachos. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen these in restaurants where it's an appetizer, but it comes out and it's like ginormous. It takes up the whole table and you wonder why you then ordered an entree.
Yeah.
I've seen them with like pulled pork on it. Just you can do any kind of protein topping. And then, of course, you know, all of the other delicious stuff. They're so good.
They really are. And you're right. There are so many different ways to have them, especially, I mean, wait 5 minutes and there will be even more ideas, you know? The inspired idea of slicing up corn tortillas and frying them in oil, then piling salsa, meat, cheese, and other goodies on top seems to have occurred in the early 1940s. The story goes that Itacana Nacho Anaya was a chef in a restaurant along the northern border of Mexico. When some American soldiers came in late at night, the chef was low on ingredients, so he tossed some tortilla chips in the shredded cheese and pickled jalapenos, and the dish was a hit. Of course, it was named after his nickname, and it wasn't long before nachos became a household term.
Awesome. I didn't know it was named after one dude.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Carl and I did this story years back, and there are a few times I can remember the look on his face, like how bloaty away he was by it. Like, this is a cool
really?
Book. Yeah, it was awesome. It's a fun story. It's very cool. And they're great.
Oh, they're so good.
Nachos are so good. Even the story of nachos is good. Like that's something. Yeah. Let's take a look at tomorrow, since we won't be with the audience this weekend, looking at the October 22nd, Smart is Cool Day. That's a good one.
Smart is cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. Not to say that smart does not mean necessarily book smarts. It can mean that.
No.
And certainly, you know, the quote-unquote nerd culture is big now, but like I always like to tell people, anybody listening to this, if you're something you are overly passionate about, you're a nerd. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You too, but I love football. I'm all about football. I watch every second of football. Football, football, football.
So you're smart about football.
You're a football nerd. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what the term means. There are different things. Everybody excels and is smarter at least something, if not multiple things. I genuinely believe that there is not a dumb person in the world. I am pushed on that at times. But I genuinely believe that. I think that everybody excels at certain things, makes you smart about them, which makes smart cool.
Yep. Smart is cool.
National Color Day. That's a fun one. Colors are great.
Colors are amazing.
Not a bad idea to, I look at these things too, to appreciate these things too. So like, you know, National Smart Day, appreciating your brain, appreciating these things that you excel at and that you love and enjoy. National Color Day. I grew up with a friend who was colorblind, and I don't know if that impacted me or what, but I've just always appreciated the fact of being able to see colors. I know it is a common thing for the majority of us, but not everybody.
I have a couple of cousins who are colorblind. And just hearing from them about, you know, like the fact that they have to memorize where the lights are as opposed to what color they are at traffic stops.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the red is versus the green. And it's not something you think about when you can see color. But right, that is right, a universal thing that's necessary so that people who are colorblind can follow traffic laws.
This friend of mine, Shelly, that was that way, we were kids, but she had the same issue because you got to cross the street, of course. And, you know, that she would often, especially because she was very embarrassed by it, she wouldn't really share that with a lot of people. So she'd often, like, walk. She wouldn't cross the street unless it was with somebody she knew. And I can't imagine as she got older, the amount of things that she had to kind of do those, balance that with. And another one to be aware of, International Stuttering Awareness Day is Saturday.
Oh, that's a good one. We had another speech one earlier.
Yeah.
This last week?
There are so many famous stories and famous people that you would never expect has struggled with speech or struggle with stuttering, it's an everyday battle, if not a lifetime battle. The famous movie The King's Speech, you know, Oscar-winning historical drama about King George the VI of England and his speech and language therapist, Lionel Logue.
A good movie.
It's such a good movie. Nothing but just stellar performances. Some of the greatest acting I've ever seen, like on top of great acting. But it's also an inspiration. There are many people. I think of a lot of people, like, when it comes to this story. Just to bring it a little bit home, I had a speech impediment when I was little.
Did you?
My S's and my Z's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that now. Telling us about it. I
wasn't great at pronouncing them, and I ended up, a lot of the times, my brain just kind of pushed them together. What I've found now, talking to language therapists and people that really know their stuff, this isn't my brain, this is other smart people I'm just repeating, said that I had minor dyslexia even then. It just wasn't diagnosed until now. Or in the last 2 years. These are things, and look what I do for a living. Now, do I do it well? That's a different conversation. But
but you got your S's and your Z's down, man.
Sure do.
Nice.
National Nut Day is also on Saturday, and Make a Difference Day.
Good.
It's not just every day. Every moment of the day, you have a chance to make a difference in the world and in people's lives. So not everybody gets to cure polio. Not everybody can have something that they do that impacts literally the whole world. But if you do something in your neck of the woods, you do something in your neighborhood, your block, your community, your city, other people get inspired and they do something. And maybe somebody else in the city next to it does something, and then so on and so on and so on. And before you know it, we got a better world.
Yeah. Be something as simple as picking up a piece of trash that you see as you're walking down the road, or calling in on a neighbor just to check in on them and make sure that they're doing okay.
Just a couple to touch on for Sunday. It is National Croc Day.
Croc?
Yeah,
as in the shoes. Alligator.
Crocs. Yeah. Now, the Croc shoe. Now, I have never worn these. I don't know much about them, but I know a lot of people love them.
And there was recent controversy about the fact that they're made of edible material, but don't please eat them.
Please, don't. Please, please don't.
There are better things to eat.
I know you don't want to eat your vegetables, but they're going to taste a lot better. Sunday is also National Mother-in-Law Day. A big shout out to all the great mother-in-laws out there. Sunday it's also National TV Talk Show Host Day. A lot of the great TV talk show hosts out there. And one of the most beautiful animals walking under the sun, the International Snow Leopard Day, is this Sunday.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mole Day. Moles are pretty, too.
I missed that. No, moles are great. Moles are great, too. Yeah,
okay,
both
of them.
Okay,
but they're not really usually thought of as pretty.
True. Very true. But I didn't mean to skate over that. Yeah, moles as well. Snow leopards are captivating and powerful, beautiful animals. However, they are also vulnerable to loss of prey and poaching. These animals are distributed sparsely across 12 different countries in Central Asia. They tend to be found in rugged, high mountain landscapes at elevations between 3,000 and 4,500 meters. The key to protecting this species is raising awareness. That's what International Snow Leopard Day is all about. And hopefully we bring enough awareness to these and we can keep these animals around so that kids can enjoy them.
Yes. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah, I don't want any animal to be on come down and fall down on our watch, you know? I mean, it's important to me, and I'm not alone in that one. I know a lot of people feel this similarly to that.
Yes.
We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Hope you all are having a good Friday morning out there. Melissa and James here with you. Got some good stuff coming up before the top of the hour. Of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, Culver Star of the Day, all that coming up for you. We start with fish news.
Fish.
Yeah, I couldn't help but notice this wasn't in your excellent broadcast today, Melissa. You do a great job with the news, and I really enjoyed yours today. Always do. Usually end up learning something or hearing a little more detail on something I just didn't get a chance to dive into yet. But I am a little disappointed that you didn't have fish news here. A study at Oxford found that, contrary to popular belief, goldfish actually have pretty good memories.
Oh, they've been maligned all this time.
All this time. We've been making movies about them, being forgetful and all this, and here it turns out that we've been wrong. A team from Oxford University trained 9 fish to travel 70 centimeters, about 2-3 feet, and back, receiving a food reward at the end. Researchers said it showed the fish could accurately estimate distance. The study disproves the long-held belief goldfish have little or no memory. Now, for those that have done a deep dive on this, and that's probably, let me see, yep, that's just me. Okay, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's not that interesting of a subject, but I really enjoy having a fish tank and having fish. I haven't had one in years, but I used to all the time, and I don't like just having something. I want to know about it. I have questions. Yeah. I looked into this, and it turns out that we've known for quite a while that goldfish, they have bad memories, not long-term memory. They know how to eat. They know how to get home. They just don't know necessarily how to get anywhere else. they just don't have long-term memory very well. The University Department of Biology scientists wanted to find out if fish have ways of navigating similar to land-based animals. And they were able to figure out that, yes, they do, even with goldfish. Now, most of the fish that they tried all did unsurprisingly well, because they, you know, kind of assumed that they did. But this is kind of a bit of groundbreaking information, because we're also able to study their brains and hopefully figure out a little bit more how this can help us with Alzheimer's or dementia or a lot of other things that affect the brain.
Interesting.
You can go to bbc.com to see the entire article, and just a big shout out to this one, because I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, because you do always hear that. You got the memory span of a goldfish. It's just not something you should say anymore. It's not nice.
Melissa, men are sick and tired of something, and we're not going to take it anymore. Unless we have to, because then, you know, that's what we'll do.
Comparing your memory to a goldfish?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Not far off.
I thought that's what it
was. Someone on Reddit asked guys to name things that they're sick of being judged for, and that will tell you what made the list. Here are a few of these random guy things that, so if a guy's in his 50s, buys a, let's see here, he can wear a sports cap backwards. So if you're over 50 and you're a guy, you can wear your sport cap backwards. They're sick of being judged for that. having non-manly hobbies like baking and gardening. Get over it. There is no such thing as a man hobby, a woman hobby. They're just hobbies.
Yeah, I don't think that they're getting judged for that as much as they think they are. Maybe by other men.
Well, that's just it.
Okay.
This is similar to me to how many girlfriends I've had growing up and known throughout my life that have said, you know, I care about my appearance, I worry about my appearance, and I care about what you think, but I don't. I care about what my girlfriends think more than anything else. Like, I've always heard from other women that they're more concerned about being judged by other women than men. I'm certain that is different, but case by case. It just happens to be what I've heard a lot of.
Well, I think you're not wrong.
Men tend to judge other men more harshly than anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if women do this, but men tend to size each other up. Not just literally in a fight sense, although for some of us we're very guilty of that. It is more so in just a I'm more manly than him, or I'm more this than him. And I'm not saying every guy does this. I certainly don't waste my brain energy on it, but there's plenty of people that do. It will hold a man back from doing something fun that they may enjoy, may excel at, like baking or gardening, or even just simply sitting down and having a tea party with your daughter. Mm-hmm. I've done that many, many times, and I have enjoyed every one of those tea parties, and great tea. Great tea.
Great tea.
Make great tea. Tea. Kids make great tea.
That pretend tea is especially the best.
Imagine missing out on a memory with your daughter because you're worried about what other men think. I can't think of, there are a few things that make that as a top 10 ridiculous thought in the world to me. But I don't necessarily blame men for that. There is the majority of us men have grown up in a different world, in a different climate, and a quote-unquote idea of what it is to be a man.
Yeah.
Now, you look at your biology real quick, and that'll tell you if you're a man or a woman. That'll pretty much tell you pretty quickly. You don't need a belt buckle or a certain type of vehicle or a certain job or hobby to make yourself anything. You are what you are.
And I was kind of looking at it from my perspective of, well, I'm not going to judge him for that, but you're right. The genders themselves typically judge their own gender for something stronger than they would the opposite gender.
Let's not get it twisted. Men definitely care what women think.
women definitely care what men think.
Yeah, but I think that we really have hit on something here, that the sexes tend to judge them their own sex harsher than the other. Mm-hmm. Overall, the majority of them.
And then probably more so than that, they judge themselves.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. We are our own harshest critic. Incredibly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And number two on the list, being short, don't judge people for things they can't control. Another guy said he's sick of people judging him for his receding hairline. So that's certainly another one. We don't get to choose our DNA. We are born with what we got. Mm-hmm. Pampering yourself with things like massages. It seems like women tend to do these things, but especially in the last 10 to 15 years, they're saying there's an overwhelming amount of men doing these things.
Yeah, and it's good for your self-care to de-stress and relax like that, and that there's no way better than a massage.
Yeah.
But someone that knows what they're doing.
I know I'm in pain, but I'm just going to walk it off. Not getting one of those little massages or anything like that.
Or taking a hot bath. Why would you do that, James? Why would you want to relax?
That is hilarious you said that, Melissa. Number four on the list, taking long, relaxing showers. If you take more than 10 minutes, people assume that you're just basking in there or something, among other things.
That's what they assume.
Yeah, that's it. It's a family show. I'm trying to...
Yep.
Ordering a cocktail or quote-unquote girl drink instead of a beer. This is by far and away, for me, the most ridiculous thing I can think of. Mm-hmm. This is one of the silliest things I can think of. I have never once, not one time in my life, and keep in mind, everybody, I turned 21 in Wisconsin, and all the times I've been to bars, not once have I ever looked at another man's drink and thought, huh, I'm more manly than him. I'm drinking this. I don't care. I don't care what you're drinking. Unless you want me to try it or get one or something like that. Like, hey, you got to try this or something. Like, then sure. I can't. What guy is going in the bar and looking at what other men are drinking? Why are you worrying about that? There's a sports game on the radio. Yeah, what are you on the TV?
Pink drink for? Jeez.
I mean, if you're curious about trying it, that's a different thing. You got questions about that. I get that. I've done that 100 times. Hey, what's that beer you got there or something? I've done that before.
Well, I honestly think with the rise of White Claw and the popularity with that, it's probably kind of going to put this one to the wayside. I don't think you can judge anybody for anything anymore, drink-wise.
I'm not a seltzer guy. I'm not a big fan of them by any means, but you just made me a bit of a fan of them with that. Well, I hadn't thought of that. But yes, I've seen equally men and women drinking those things. So, maybe that you're right. Maybe that'll help break this down. Because all these things are silly. They divide us. Are there differences between men and women? Hell yeah. Yeah, thankfully yeah. So. It's how this world works. It's a good thing. We should. There's nothing wrong with our differences. Our differences make us unique and special.
And make us stronger together.
Absolutely. And instead of like poking holes at these things or questioning who you're not woman enough, you're not man enough, or these kind of things, just embracing who you are, embracing each other as a society. Because guess what? There are billions and billions and billions and billions of us. You're going to have outliers. That means every one of us. Like, maybe in the early initiative of the human population and everything, some of this stuff may have made some sense back in the first 100 years of human beings walking upright. It ended right there and then. I mean, it's been a joke since then. And all it does is categorize us and separate us.
Mm-hmm.
And divide us. And we got enough things doing that in the world.
We certainly do. Let's find things that actually bring us together.
Like candy, which is what we're going to go to next when we come back.
Perfect.
We'll be back talking a little bit of Halloween candy and how that creative costume can help you with it when we get back. Yeah, when we get back on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah.
Got a good one for us here, Melissa. We're at the point where you need to know if your Halloween costume this year is going to be something creative or if you're just going to throw something together at last minute, like a lot of us do. For all the planning and thinking I do about this on all year long, to be honest with you all, I always do this at the last minute, kind of like, oh, what do I want to put together? Do we got a sheet somewhere I can put holes in?
I've got my paper bags and duct tape ready to go.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just waiting for inspiration to strike.
I could just put a bag over my head and be a Bear fan. I could just...
snap.
Yeah, I can say that. I can say that. If you care about maximizing your candy haul, putting effort into your Halloween costume could be worth it. In a new poll, 61% of people say creative costumes should net more candy. And that's for the costume themselves, not having a creative explanation for why you're barely dressed up. Or if somebody can't understand what your costume is. Like, you don't get points for that, necessarily.
If you have to explain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Parents are 3 times more likely to buy Halloween costumes than make them. But for themselves, 46% of adults would prefer a DIY costume because it lets them be more creative and it's more fun to put together.
Yeah. But they don't have time to make, you know, 2 to 4 of them for their kids.
Yeah, yeah. That's the catch of this, really. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of fun to make your own costume, but who has the time?
Well, and plus, if your kid wants to be somebody very recognizable from a TV show or a Disney movie, that's kind of hard to make at home.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true. Hey,
can
I want to
make me a Buzz Lightyear costume?
Right. Yeah. How about just an astronaut? How about just...
we got a cardboard box around here somewhere.
A lot of parents say their kids are asked for classic costumes like pirates, vampires, scary stuff, superheroes, and villains. But some kids are asking for strange stuff like chicken nuggets or a blue tarantula or a green bean.
A pickle.
A pickle. I saw that there was a... there was a friend of mine who posted on social media, their kid wanted to dress up as like the state of Florida. But they're from Wisconsin. They have no connection to Florida whatsoever. She just likes the shape of Florida.
She just likes the shape of it.
That's it. Doesn't know a thing about Florida. May know a little bit, but she's pretty young, so I imagine she doesn't know too much.
I was thinking, like, what an amazing child wants to call attention to the situation in Florida by going as the state of Florida for Halloween. That's awesome. No, she just likes the shape.
That's
good too.
That's okay too. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of the weirdest costumes that I've seen little kids in. I love seeing the family ones where everybody's dressed up and the little kid is, you know, some like Baby Yoda or you know, Grogu or something like that. Those are good ones. I don't know why, but I remember for some reason we were taking my sister and I was taking my sister and brother trick or treating. I was, you know, 16, 17, whatever it was. And there was a little girl who was dressed up as a spider. And she couldn't have been more than 5 or 6. And she had the like six legs, you know, and they're all attached to her one arm. So every time she moved her arms, they all moved. And this poor little kid was having the darndest time holding her bucket and those arms. It was just so cute. It was so, I wasn't trying to like laugh at her problem. I just thought it was just so darn cute. You wouldn't think a kid dressed up as a spider bee. It was adorable. And it's definitely one of the weirder kid costumes I've seen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love the little kid ones when they're dressed up like old people.
Yes.
I don't know why. Babies as old people just is the most adorable thing.
I like that. I'm with you on that. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. There are some weird ones that are going around. Like there is Steve Harvey's mustache.
Okay.
I like that. I like the idea of just being Steve Harvey's mustache, but in one of those Steve Harvey suits. Steve wears some beautiful, bright colored suits. I think that would be a good mix. That'd be a good fit. I saw a really good one, Flo the Progressive Lady, dressed as Jake from State Farm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's fun. There's a bunch of course, political ones and those things, but I just find those kind of boring, to be honest with you. I mentioned the one that I enjoy, like on the TV show Bob's Burgers. They create characters for the kids every year in their Halloween episodes. And there was Peter Pan's Labyrinth, where Louise was dressed up as Peter Pan, but with the hands from like the Pan's Labyrinth character. I like those.
I just found one that is adorable. A little baby dressed up as a lobster being carried in a big kettle.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's so good.
And then
good.
The parents dressed as a chef.
I'm seeing some classics here, Melissa. Like, that's a good one. I think I just saw that one, or at least one like it. I see a little kid, again, 5-6 years old, dressed as Edward Scissorhands.
Yes. Yes. I saw that one, too. That's adorable.
Did you see the one next to it with the little kid? He's dressed as an old man with a rocker and the balloons. He's the old man from Up. Oh, my God. That might be the winner. That might be the winner for me. That's pretty good. Han Solo and Chewbacca. Those are good. Mm.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Honestly, little kids look just so adorable when you dress them up. And that's half of the fun of Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thankful to see that we are still embracing this, that we're still, you know, Halloween really is meant for kids. Can we enjoy it as adults? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we can. And we're going to.
Sure.
We're definitely going to. Yep. But let's not lose sight of who this is for. This is, you know, there's a little kid Beetlejuice. Oh, no, this is the one, Melissa. There's a little kid dressed as Elliot from E.T., and he's got a little E.T. in his little basket on his bike.
That's cute.
Man, that's good. That's good.
These creative parents out there, it's just awesome.
I have to send a shout out to, because for every one of us that can't really put these together that well, so many great DIY parents out there. So many great parents out there with their being able to make these things.
Yeah.
I take it back, Melissa. I found my favorite one. There are two little brothers. One of them is dressed up as Van Gogh Starry Night. And it's just him. He's all in black, and he's got a little face paint on like Starry Night and a Starry Night shirt. Mm-hmm. And they even have a frame he's carrying on his neck around it.
Okay.
Right next to him, his younger brother is dressed as Vincent Van Gogh.
Oh.
with a missing ear and everything.
And a paintbrush.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
You have to Google these people. Look these up.
I don't know, James. I might have found the winner here.
Ooh.
I found the one from Castaway where Tom Hanks, it's a little boy, he's probably like 5, 6, dressed up as Tom Hanks from that with the mustache and the FedEx box and
so
the ripped
good.
Up sneakers. And then his little baby sister is the volleyball Wilson. It's so cute.
That's good. Oh, I see a little baby porcupine too. That's a pretty good one too. And I think you might be right. I think that may take the cake. Although this little Joker, I'm really loving the little Joker too. There's a little guy dressed up as the Joker. So he's killing it. He looks really good.
If you want to put a smile on your face, this is an easy one to do today.
Absolutely. I understand this is an audio medium. And
right,
Melissa
right.
and I are talking about pictures here and everything. Encourage you to look these up and give yourself the palate cleanser for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And have fun, parents. Have fun, kids. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy it. Yeah. Be safe out there. There For are sure. so many great things we have, and we're going to talk about all the great Halloween hosted events next week a lot more on the show. We'll yeah. highlight a lot of our great nonprofits and different businesses that are going to be having their Halloween parties and different things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll certainly go over trick-or-treat times and all that. And we're looking forward to the following Monday on the 31st. We're hoping to have all three of us have Halloween costumes on. Going to yeah. see how many of us we can get in the studio here dressed up.
I think I found a couple that might be winners. What do you think about us going as a s'more?
Oh, that's good. I like that.
But you have to be the marshmallow.
Okay. All right. I feel that's weird casting, but all right. I'll tell you, I'll do it. Yeah. Yeah. You take the, not to say that I'm that much darker, but take the darkest and skinniest of the three of us. And I like it. Hey, my sixth grade teacher thought me playing Santa would be perfect. And, you know, I mean, it was a good casting. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a bunch of fun in the 8 o'clock hour on Misty's with Misty's and Culver's and all that coming up for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.